This week, the congressional agenda includes not just the current economic and public health challenges — those would be enough to keep any session busy — but also the urgent calls for reform of America's police departments. Weeks of protests touched off by George Floyd's death have led to the introduction of several bills in the U.S. House. With us to discuss prospects in the other chamber is Senator Gary Peters. Senator, welcome back to Stateside.
Oh, great to be with you, April.
So 200 of the representatives in the House have just got behind a Justice in Policing Act. We can talk about some of the provisions in that bill and whether they will make it over to the Senate. But I just wanted to ask you out of the gate what you think an appropriate goal is for police reform at this time.
Well, certainly we need to take this up and we need to have action. Certainly the murder of George Floyd has demonstrated the need to take action, to stop talking and move forward with something concrete. You know, I'd certainly the image of the police officer with his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck is a haunting image that is seared into my mind, as I think it is every American who had the opportunity to see that video. And so there are a number of proposals here in the Senate that we are looking at. The House is working on proposals as well, and I'm sure we will take action fairly quickly.
What would your priorities be?
Well, I think there's a variety of things we need to do. First, there are some immediate priorities that we have to address to deal with police actions. And I support and have signed on to a bill to eliminate chokeholds, for example. That's not a practice that should be used by police, certainly not in the way that we saw used against George Floyd. Also, I think there needs to be a mechanism to have independent investigations. There needs to be transparency and an independent oversight of alleged misbehavior on the part of police. Currently, right now, if an officer is accused of something, it'll be investigated often within the department or perhaps by a prosecutor in the community, but also one that has a lot of contact on a daily basis with that police department. It needs to be moved out. It has to be truly independent in order to have credibility with folks is another important aspect.
Who do you think would be an appropriate entity to take on such investigations? I mean, are you thinking about the Justice Department?
Yes, there could be a Justice Department. It could be organizations within the state, separate departments, just not internally within the same department.
We have a Justice Department right now that was disinclined to look into George Floyd's death and which has been unwilling to enforce consent decrees with any number of other American cities police departments. What makes you think the federal government would act if Congress directed it to?
Well, I think we would also have to have an administration. Clearly, we'd have to have a president that believed it was important to have justice for all in this country, to believe that the rule of law needs to apply equally to everybody, no matter who they are, no matter where they live. So it is important who's in these offices. There's no question about that.
Do you feel like Black Americans can afford to wait for a new administration?
Well, I would hope that this administration would follow the law. I guess it's interesting. We have to debate whether or not a president of the United States would follow the law of the United States. It may tell us where we are right now in American history and why we need to change.
There are Michiganders who never see a police car or a uniformed sworn officer without experiencing mortal fear. And there are some Michiganders who've always had friendly interactions with police. Both of these things are true. How do you balance these truths in the decisions that you're making right now and the fact that it really is life or death for so many people?
Well, there's no question about that. And I think, you know, we all have to also understand the limitations of legislation. I mean, this is about changing the hearts and minds of people in this country as well, that we have to treat every citizen, everybody with respect and dignity. That has to change. But when it comes to police practices and ways that a department is managed, we have seen examples of best practices where community policing is used within a department, for example, where officers are assigned to a particular area. They get to know people in that area. They get to know folks by name, by face, and citizens also get to know those officers. Those have been incredibly successful when they've been implemented correctly around the country. So community policing is something that we know works, and we need to expand even further.
Senator Peters, are you prepared to consider defunding the nation's police forces? And I feel I should define funding in the way that we've heard activists in Michigan do so, that it may not necessarily mean dismantling, although there are those who are calling for that, but that it could certainly mean reducing funding to local police departments in favor of the kind of social services that make our communities safer.
Well, I think we need to fund police organizations and law enforcement. I think it's important for us to continue to do that. They are necessary to maintain public safety and are a valuable part of the community. And you know, communities have certainly expressed that throughout Michigan. Most of the funding for police departments does not come from the federal government. It comes from the local community. Certainly, communities have police millages on a regular basis to support their police. Those are decisions that each community will make and determine what is best for their community. But I believe we have to continue to fund law enforcement organizations and to fund our police. Now, we do need to have reforms. There's ways that we can make sure that they're performing their duties better and in a more transparent fashion. And we need to institute those reforms, whether at the federal level or at the state level or within our local communities. But the police still play an incredibly valuable role in our communities.
Can we turn to the economy for a moment?
Absolutely.
Many constituents may be feeling vertigo right now. We are officially in a recession as of February, and some families are in free fall because of unemployment. And yet the stock market is just banging right now. In the face of such conflicting economic information, how should policymakers be responding?
Well, policymakers and all of us, we need to respond based on what's happening, not on Wall Street, but what's happening on Main Street. And we have too many small businesses that are just hanging on by their fingernails now, which is why it was important to pass legislation to help small businesses stay in business, to keep their employees on the payroll. We need to continue to make sure that happens because and to really get this economy moving and have it recover as quickly as possible, and we all want it to recover quickly and as safely as possible, you can't lose small businesses. If small businesses go out of business, we will be in an economic slump for a lot longer than any of us would like. Small businesses are the engine of growth. They're the folks who hire most of the people in our local community. And we need to measure our actions that we take here in Washington or in Lansing based on helping small businesses get back up on their feet and get back to hiring and providing valuable services to folks in our communities.
Some recent polls have suggested that Americans' perceptions of the economy kind of depend on their party affiliation, that Democrats are more likely to call the current condition what it is, a recession, and Republicans tend to think maybe it's not that bad. How do you get any legislative consensus in the Senate in that kind of environment?
Well, we have to come together. It is, I think, just today, the economists have officially said this is a recession, so we are in a recession. And when you have tens of millions of people unemployed, it's pretty difficult to know how you don't define it as such with what we're seeing happen right now. So this we have to come together, understand that this should not be a partisan issue. This should be what is necessary for our economy and for families to be able to get back to work, to put food on the table, to keep a roof over their head. Many families are struggling, and if the recession lasts too long, they're going to struggle even more.
Senator Peters, thanks for your time today.
Oh, great to be with you. Thank you.
Gary Peters represents Michigan in the U.S. Senate. That's Stateside for today. Thanks for listening. I'm April Baer. We will see you on Wednesday.